Welcome to The Promise. Thanks for joining us online today. If you'd like to know more about the church or supporting this ministry financially, please go to our website, thepromisesd.com. Now, please enjoy the message.
Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him, "Send her away. Tell her to go away," they said. "She's bothering us with all her begging." Then Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and worshipped him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the little dogs." She replied, "That's true, Lord, but even puppies are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath the master's table." "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed. See, it was known that Jesus had come to save the Jews. Everybody knew that at that time. He wasn't there to save the Gentiles. He came to save the Jews. But this fame of Jesus had spread so far that it had spread to the Gentile side of town. And the Gentile side of town was the other side of the tracks. This was the side of town where people were struggling, where people were dealing with their problems all alone. They were the outcasts. They were the forgotten. And see, and this woman hears about this man who heals people, who puts broken things back together, who delivers people, who when he speaks, people are set free. And she says, "Man, if that man ever comes to my neighborhood, that man that heals, that brings people back to life, that sets people free, if he ever shows up, that one that restores and makes things new, then you know what? I'm going to find him, and I'm not going to let him go until he heals my daughter." Maybe you can relate to this lady. Perhaps you came here today with a need for God so great only God can fix it, or heal it, or restore it. You know, sometimes I think that we look good on the outside to the world. We have a way of covering up and making everything look like we're fine and we're okay. But inside, we're hurting. Inside, we're broken. And see, this lady, she was hurting. She was hurting because her daughter was suffering. This is the kind of suffering that makes parents give up everything they've got, pay anything they've got to make the suffering stop. This is the child who's caught up in drugs, or the kid who's got cancer, or your child whose marriage is falling apart. And parents will do anything in the world to stop their child from suffering the pain that they're going through. And this is what this lady is feeling. This is what is driving this lady. And what does she do? She runs to Jesus. See, in our greatest time of trouble, that's not the time to run from Jesus. That's the time to run to Jesus. You don't run to social media. You don't run to money. You don't run to drugs or alcohol. No, you run to Jesus because he has healing. He has acceptance. He has security. He has purpose. He has your identity. It's in his presence. You run to Jesus. And that's what this woman does. She runs to Jesus and she worships him and she says, "I believe you are the Lord. You are the Savior. Help me." See, that's her faith talking. Her faith, she admits and confesses, "You are the one true living God. You are the one. I believe you can help me." That's faith talking. But what happens? The disciples shoo her away. Push her away. Wait a minute. Wait, what? Aren't these the people that are supposed to be like helping people to Jesus? What is going on? See, but this is what religion will do. Religion will push you away from Jesus. Religion will say, "You're not good enough. You're not worthy enough. You don't belong here." That's religion, folks. That's not Jesus. Jesus says, "You can come because of grace. You can come into his presence because of grace. Jesus died for everybody so that if you believe in him, you too can have and experience his grace, his mercy, and his love. See, God gives us many promises in the Bible that if we do them, we'll be blessed. But see, those promises require us using our faith. And that scares a lot of people. That scares a lot of people. They're afraid of doing it God's way. I mean, I get it. There's many kinds of fears that hold us back. One of them is self-doubt or insecurity. Oh, I've tried that before. It didn't work. I failed at it. I put myself out there. I thought I used my faith. I tried, but it didn't work for me. So why should I try again? See, but everybody fails. You're not alone. Everybody's failed in life. And sometimes failure is how we learn. If we allow ourselves, we learn. That's how we learn what works a lot of the time. And you know, I think God uses ordinary people who just keep going instead of giving up. That's all it is. You're going to get knocked down a lot. It's how many times you get back up. Get back up, and God uses you. You know, at the cross when Jesus died, there were two disciples who denied Jesus, Judas and Peter. They both committed the same sin. The difference was how they reacted to their failure. See, Judas had a pity party, got depressed, and went and hung himself. Peter realized his mistake, asked God for his forgiveness, repented, and was restored. And who did Jesus decide to use on Pentecost? Peter. Jesus decided to use Peter on Pentecost, and 3,000 people got saved. Guess what? Jesus decided to use the biggest failure of the bunch to build his church on. See, but fear is often attached to our desire to do things God's way. But see, if you're going to be successful in this life, you're going to need to learn to move beyond your fears. And that's what this woman does. She moves past her fear of rejection, of racism, of criticism. She moves past those thoughts in her head that keep telling her, you're not worthy, you're not good enough. She pushes through them and she pushes forward to Jesus because she's desperate. And desperation will drive you to do things that you never dreamed of. Desperation will drive you to Jesus with everything you've got. Desperation is the person who shows up early to church and early to the prayer meeting. Desperation is the person who stands in worship, bawling their eyes out, snot coming out their nose. They don't care what they look like or who sees them because they know. Desperation is the person who knows that only God can do this for me. See, desperation will push open doors that complacency will keep shut. This lady's desperate. So she pushes through the disciples. She pushes through the obstacles. She pushes through the politically correct way of doing things to get to Jesus. But why? Why would she put herself through this? Why would she do all this? See, because she understood the authority he walked in. Your awareness of God's authority will determine how much you can receive from him. Your awareness of God's authority will determine how much you can receive from him. Hear me. Faith is important. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Faith is how we stand through the trials and the storms. But see, your faith needs to be anchored in something. Your faith needs to be anchored in who God is, how amazing your God is. That's where your faith needs to be anchored. See, you need to enlarge your awareness of God's authority, and then your faith will rise with it. Who is God in your eyes? Is he truly creator of all? Sustainer of life and the very breath that you breathe? Is he Almighty God? Is he miracle worker, Red Sea parting, deadly disease healer, Alpha and Omega, the first and the last? Is he the one true, only living, powerful God? Then guess what? He's your final authority. Say, God is the final authority. See, your doctor with his bad report, he's not the final authority. Your enemies, they're not the final authority. The government, they're not the final authority. Jesus is the final authority. You need to enlarge your awareness of God's authority, and your faith will rise with it. Study the scriptures. Read the word of God. Figure out God's power. See God's greatness. See God's goodness. Take God out of the box that you've created for him. See him as he truly is, able and willing. And she responds to Jesus with, I just need a crumb. Yes, I know I've been suffering with this sickness for years. Yes, I know that they say this is a generational curse in my family. Yes, I know that the economy says that there's no jobs. Yes, I know that the doctor says the sickness is terminal. Yes, I know that the situation I'm facing seems impossible. But Jesus, I don't need all your power. I don't need everything. I just need a crumb. I just need a crumb, Jesus. At your feet, Lord Jesus, just a crumb from your table, and I know my broken situation will be healed. I just need a crumb. Where is your faith today? Can you believe for just a crumb from the throne room of God, and your situation will be healed? Can you believe? You know, you don't have to have been in church all your life or know every scripture. You just need to have that immovable faith in God that he will see you through. Jesus said you only need to have faith the size of a mustard seed. That's tiny. A tiny, tiny amount of faith, folks. It just means that are you fully persuaded that Jesus will do it for you? That's what that means. Faith isn't just, oh, I hope so, I think so. No, it's a fully persuaded way of thinking that says, I know Jesus is going to do this for me. You know, and you may be facing something right now. You may be facing sickness or pain or rejection. And maybe reality is hitting you hard. But you know what? Reality is not the truth. Reality might be saying that you're sick. But the truth says, by the stripes that Jesus took on the cross, you are healed. Reality might be that you've messed up so many times, we've lost count. But the truth is, God's mercies are new every morning. See, there's nothing you can do too great or too terrible that God can't forgive you. If you truly repent in your heart and turn from your ways, he forgives you instantly. Because you know what? He already on the cross took all your regrets. He took all your shame. He took all your mistakes. He took all of your sins so that you could live free. It takes faith to receive that grace and mercy in your life. Will you put your faith in him? Will you push through the negative thoughts and the circumstances and say, I don't care what anybody else thinks, I choose Jesus? Will you say in your heart, I believe he is the answer? See, this mother, she teaches us something. She teaches us that great faith in the Son of God will result in great deliverance. See, every life has a story. And just like this woman's story who's being told 2,000 years later, every life here has a story. And to the evil story of pain in your life, I believe that prophetically God is putting a full stop, a period at the end of that sentence. To the story in your life, the one with the pain and the misery and the death and the anguish and the hurt, he's putting a full stop. The full stop means the end of something, and it allows a new sentence to begin. He allows a new sentence of joy, a new sentence of peace, a new sentence of love, a new sentence of breakthrough in your life. He has put a full stop to that sentence, and your new story starts today. If you will believe him, if you will accept it, and if you will receive it and walk in that truth, it will be yours. It's that simple. You just need a crumb from the throne room of God. Don't leave here today without your miracle.